Good morning. I trust you all have had your fill of snow. All righty. Kind of missed the snow days, but, you know, it's how it is. But I see this morning the weather has not kept many of us away, and that's good. And I'd just like to say that I am standing here by myself, but I'm not alone. But my partner, who usually gives me signals from the sidelines, is on the sideline herself. So just bear with me. I am going to share something with you this morning. It's going to seem a little bit strange, but as I thought about it, it does kind of convey a message, and I hope you see what I see. The greatest love story, and this is for me, this is found in Isaiah 53. And we all know Isaiah 53 very well, but to see it as a love story, well, let's take a look at that. First of all, to bring it to that point is John 3:16, which we all know. For God so loved the world. That right there is key. God so loved the world. That's a tremendous love story. And the backdrop of that is as we go through Isaiah 53, and it's only going to be a few verses there, that shows you the love of God. And why I said that. Before that, let's just pray. Blessed God and loving Heavenly Father, you are truly a great and loving Father. Your mercies are far exceeding that which we deserve. And as we stand before you this morning, as we have partaken of the emblems which the Lord Himself had instituted, even on the night he was about to be betrayed, we contemplate such a love, so deep that we can't comprehend it, Lord. And as we try and as we look close, we pray that you may show us even a greater glimpse of what we have seen so far. So we ask a blessing on all those who are here, those who are listening by Zoom, and even those who are in camp who are being fed by you in that vineyard, that all may be done to your honor and glory. In Jesus' precious and most holy name, amen. And I chose this because in this past week was Valentine's Day. And as you know, around Valentine's Day, the florists are inundated with flowers that are being sent all over. And not only the florists, but the candy makers, more chocolate is sold. But not only that, gifts of jewelry are passed out, all to convey love. And if you have a special loved one, you take them out to dinner at not a cheap restaurant because you want to impress. Even if you're married, you know, you want to show them, okay, I can spend a little money on you. But all of that is in the guise of love. And when our Lord and Savior came, he came as a mission of love. And many who are who celebrated Valentine's Day with all these various things, but when it comes to hearing about the love of Jesus, they reject it still. Even today. And I look at that and I said, wow, he came and he was rejected, but all he came with love. I mean, so much love, it's hard to imagine. I look at John 3:16 again, and it says, for God so loved the world that he gave. You see, on Wednesday, they were giving. They gave all kinds of stuff. But no one gave like God. He gave his only begotten son. Now, when you think about that, we saw Moses, Abraham, took Isaac up. And that was a foreshadow of what God was going to do. And as Abram told his son, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. Understand? Himself a lamb. He was going to be the lamb for us. It tells us how great love cannot be matched by anything that God has done. In Isaiah chapter 9 and in verse 6, we go back and we usually see that around Christmas time. And it says, a child is given, a son is born. And when you look at that, you understand that God, in comparison to what he said in John 3:16, gave his son. And it's amazing that when we see that, the credentials that are given in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says that on his shoulders, okay, on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. The government will be on his shoulders. His name should be called Wonderful. He's Counselor. He's a Mighty God. He's an Everlasting Father. He's a Prince of Peace. But this is still rejected today. The answer to loneliness is Jesus. The answer to sadness is Jesus. As we turn our attention more to Isaiah 53, and we ask the question, who have believed our report? Who has believed our report? And that question registered in my head a lot. It says, here's a question. Who has believed it? Who has believed that God has sent his son? Who has believed that God loves us so much that he would send his only begotten to this world to redeem a lost people? The next line says, and whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You see, as I contemplated that, I thought, who is it revealed to? Israel was given every opportunity. They had Moses, who brought the law. They had Abraham, who was an example to them. They even lift him up. They had Isaac and they had Jacob, but yet still, they did not believe. They did not receive. We have many today who pass by churches, who come into churches on Christmas Eve maybe, and then Christmas, maybe on Thanksgiving, if the churches are doing so, they'll come in then, but most come in on January 1st because they want to get caught in the new year in church. Now, my brother is yelling about Easter here. Yeah, Easter is too, but you know, it's usually Palm Sunday because they come for the palm. They want to go away with that leaf. That leaf. What does that leaf stand for? You know what that leaf was? It was on the ground that he walked on because they pulled leaves, branches down from the trees to put down on the ground that he might walk on them because they were hailing him as the king he is, but they were looking at him as an earthly king. not as a heavenly king. So the question is asked today to our current generations. Who hath believed our report? Who has believed that Christ has come to redeem them? I'm not going to just talk about lost generation. We need to take it personal. Did he come to redeem me? Did he come to redeem you? That's the question. And when that question has been asked, have you seen his arm stretched out to you that says, come? The Son of God has come to pay the sin debt that we owe. In that day, a few believed, but the Jewish leaders, rulers of that day, wanted no part of it. They, as I looked at the story in the backdrop of this chapter, it says that instead of them receiving him as who he was and who he is, they rejected him. They did not want to hear what he had to say, no matter what. And the fact of the matter is this. He healed so many people in their presence. He allowed the blind to see. He allowed the deaf to hear. He allowed the lame to walk. Is that enough that you should say, this is the one we're looking for? But they rejected him. We look and we see in verse 4, it says, even though they acknowledged him in the fact that he was born, he bore our grief and he carried our sorrows. We see that as the backdrop, because those who were sorrowful because they were ill, he healed them. He took their illnesses away. Those who were crippled, he took their crippledness away, their lameness away. But you know what they did? They didn't esteem him. They stricken him and smitten him that God would afflict him. In Matthew 27 and verse 27 through 31, it says this, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium. They gathered the whole garrison. Now I looked up garrison, and that's like a fort where hundreds of soldiers are gathered. And I looked at that word, it says the whole garrison. So nobody was on watch at that time. They all were gathered around here to make mischief, because the whole garrison was there. They stripped him. Now, I don't know what you have seen when you see these pictures because of modesty and whatnot. They don't show you him stripped as he was. He was naked before the world. He was brutalized by these men. He was mocked. They took an old, faded sentry robe and put on him, and they put a reed in his hand. And it says, after they had twisted a crown of thorns. And the word here is really gentle. It says they placed it on his brow. Understand this. They didn't place it. You will place a hat on a child. But they pressed the crown on his head. And then they bowed and mocked him. That's what they did to the Son of God, who came to redeem them from a lost eternity. What love? Can you imagine that kind of love. And listen, we have loved ones, and sometimes we got to think twice before we're going to step in the gap for them. Not because we don't love them, but we got to think about ourselves. You know, do I want to do that? But Christ stepped in the gap. He took it on. After they had amused themselves, then they brought him back. And this is interesting because as I look at this, and they brought him back to the Jewish leaders, who you would think would say, wait a minute, let us think. Let us understand what's going on here. But you know what? They shouted, crucify him. But that's not the worst part. They were given a choice. Do you want this man who the Roman governor says, I find no fault in him. There's nothing in him that deserves death. But I'm bringing him back to you all who brought him to me. And I say to you, what would you want me to do? Knowing that you have, as a custom, we give a prisoner to you. Do you want this man who I find no fault in? Or do you want this man, Barabbas? Now, what's Barabbas' credentials? He was in jail, yes. But just because he's in jail does not necessarily mean he's a terrible man. But this man, Barabbas, was a murderer. He was a rabble-rouser. He was against the government. He had nothing to do with the law. He was against it in every phase of it. But the religious leaders are saying, give us him and crucify him. Today, we still crucify innocents. Because Christ is still stretching out his hand. In Luke 22 and verse 63, it says, now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him, and they blindfolded him and struck him in the face and asked him, prophesy, who did it? This was their fun. This was their amusement. This is how they felt about what was going on. And I'm going to say this. They are responsible men. But if it were not for the leaders who brought him before these men who did not know their God, who were not part of them, this is what they brought to these men to do, because they only acted in their sinful nature. In John 18:22, he was struck for answering truthfully, because they asked him a question. Pilate said, are you the Son of God? And he said, thou sayest, and they slapped him. Now, if I was to ask you, is your name John, and your name is John, and you said it, should I hit you? But you asked him a truthful question, and he answered you truthfully, but you hit him. And then Pilate says, take Jesus and have him scourged. Now, wait. Let's get our minds back together on this point. I find no fault in him. This is an innocent man. Take him and scourge him. Does that make sense? Can we comprehend what is being said here? Because it's happening today. We are taking the name of Jesus and we're sharing it. As we hear our missionaries around the world who take the truth of Jesus to them, what is happening to them? They're being executed. If they do not deny the name of Jesus, they're being executed. You see, the world cries out for love, but when love comes, they destroy it. We see it because, I can tell you, our courts are very busy because of lack of love. We see it on all levels. Parents against children, abusing them. We see it against husbands and wives, abusing each other. And they take them to the court, and that's where the court is busy. We see that people look at what others have, and they desire to have them. So rather than work for it, they go to take it. And if you don't want to give it up, they brutalize you to take it from you. This is what is happening. But as they continue, and Pilate is trying so hard to release him, and Pilate doesn't even understand what's going on himself. Because even though all this is being done to the Lord knows, I'm doing this that they may have an opportunity to be relieved of that debt which they owe and cannot pay. You see, no one's going to come by and repossess you because you have a sin debt. And God is not going to repossess you because you have a sin debt. But what he's going to do is give you an opportunity to have it paid in full through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark 15:14, it said, Pilate said, "What evil has he done?" And they never answered that question. If you look and you'll see, they ignored the question, but all they said was, "Crucify him. Crucify him." And here's the part that really is interesting is the leaders, the Jewish leaders, stirred the crowd to request him be crucified and release the murderer. You see, I look at it today and I say that we are doing the same thing today only because when we look around and we see some of the things that we hear and are said, we just don't get the picture that Christ has come. And I'm talking for those of us who believe, we know that the Lord has come to redeem us from a lost eternity. He came and gave the greatest love gift that could ever be given. He gave his life. And it's so hard that when you look at it and see the Jewish leaders of that day stirring up the people, and we look today and we have many televangelists giving the wrong information, talking about, send me so much money and you'll get a blessing. Send me so much and I'll send you a prayer cloth where your prayers will be answered. You know what the Lord says? Come on to me and I'll give you rest. Did he ask you for anything? No. There is nothing you can give the Lord other than your heart that will satisfy him. But one thing we should look at, and as I draw to close, to look at Isaiah 52, verses 13 to 15. And it says this, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He will be exalted and extolled, be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man." You see, I didn't even talk about what they did to him physically as much as I could have. Because when it says his visage was marred more than any man, many of you have never seen a prize fight. All right? And they use boxing gloves and whatnot. But after a fight, and especially guys that call bleeders or whatever, their boxer's face is terrible. It's swollen, it's bleeding, it's puffy in all kinds of ways. But it said Christ's visage was marred more than any man. More. Can you picture the blood streaming down his brow as the thorns pierced his scalp? Can you see the swollenness of his face as he is beaten and slapped? And then imagine the scourging that he took. And then he was crucified. More than any man. More than any man. And verse 15 says, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him for what had not been told them shall see. They shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider. Listen, this was Isaiah speaking many years before Christ came on the scene. And the evidence that's being mentioned here has been realized. Many kings shut their mouths. Many kings had to consider things that were heard. And now he is lifted up. But as we go through, and I just wanted to look at verse 7 of 53, and it says this, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent. And I like the term silent rather than dumb, because there was no dumbness here. It was silence. It was humility. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. For you and me, he was stricken. Here, I know Isaiah is referring to the Jews, but he's also referring to us. We are just as guilty until we accept his sacrifice, until we understand the love that God had for us. We are just as guilty. But one thing that stands out, Jesus paid it all. And because he paid it all, we are free. We don't have that burden hanging over our head. And there's one more point that is really, really interesting as you look at this particular chapter. It says that by his stripes, we are healed. Now, people take that to mean we're physically healed. That's not what it means. Though it can happen, his stripes has healed us spiritually. Amen. Yes. That's the beauty part about it. And as we go, as we think, as we meditate, because this morning our worship was so sweet to hear all this that he has done. And what marveled me was in the first hymn that we sang, it said that we as prodigals wandered. There are those who are wandering today. They are prodigals. They have strayed away. And I say that because many of them grew up in church. Many of them knew Sunday school verses and lessons, and sometimes they can even tell you them. But now they're wandering. They're being deceived by the college professors who know no God and don't want anything to do with God. But we cannot ignore the love of God, because it is so great and so wonderful. I beg you today, if you are here, if you're on Zoom, and you are looking and seeking for a love that will not fade away, it's Jesus. Because our world, the love in our world, is fleeting. It fades. Ever since the laws have been changed, you can get married today and be divorced next week. Because, we're not compatible. But you didn't know that before. You waited till after. You go through, you make the expense, you do all this stuff, and then, we're not compatible. But you know what it is? It's not that you're not compatible. It's that you're not willing to work at making it happen. And you see, with Jesus, he's done all the work. Now all you have to do is the living. And by so doing, Jesus has paid it all. Let us all remember that Jesus loved us more than this world could ever love us. May the Lord bless you.